You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, December 21st. Happy winter. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. There's not a cloud in the sky. I hope everyone else is enjoying their last few days before this nice three-day weekend we have coming up. It was a weird, disjointed game last night, not really a Warriors game, as the final score indicates. So we're going to talk about that in the first segment. I have a lot of notes from this game, so definitely want to get in on that one. Then I'll be taking you back in time because it's Throwback Thursday. I'll be going back 17 years to December 2000, a showdown between Anton Jameson and the Golden State Warriors and Kobe Bryant and the Los Angeles Lakers. They traded 51-point games in one of the most exciting games of that year, and of course Bryant's Lakers would go on to win the 2001 championship. But the Warriors came out on top that night, and that made it all the sweeter. In the last segment, I'm going to go over the Christmas Day slate of games and pick out my favorites that aren't Warriors versus Cavs. To all my listeners old and new, thank you for joining me today. You can find my written media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. If you have any questions, comments, or just want to chop it up about hoops, you can hit me up, AlikoCarter11@gmail.com, or via Twitter at Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. Make sure that you go to LockedOnWarriors.com and bookmark that page. Check out Locked On Warriors and Locked On NBA Net on Facebook. Make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and keep coming to us every single day because we will be here. But firstly, I want to recap this game that we had last night. 10 wins in a row for the Warriors, currently the longest winning streak in the NBA. Hat tip to the Los Angeles Lakers for beating the Houston Rockets, ending their 14-game win streak last night. We play the Lakers on Friday. Hopefully that win streak for them doesn't extend to two. The Warriors opened this one really sloppily, 7 turnovers in the first quarter that they were live ball turnovers, a lot of them passing into hands that weren't Warriors' hands. A lot of plays of insanity. These allowed a team that hasn't been winning games to stay involved, to take an early lead, and to glean hope, honestly, against the depleted Warriors. But the defense of the Warriors really won out. They won the night. And Marc Gasol's night is exemplar of the night that the Warriors gave the Grizzlies overall. He was 5 of 15 from the field. And Gasol is a superstar. He's a superstar who can play inside, play outside. He does everything for his team. They obviously haven't been winning games since Mike Conley went down, but that doesn't mean Gasol isn't a threat. He is an absolute beast. And the rotating Warriors, Kevin Durant, Jordan Bell, David West, really held him in check. He made a few three-pointers. He made some really acrobatic three-point plays, but he was 5 of 15 from the field. And that's the difference in the game. Even though the pace was more of a Grizzlies pace, the Warriors really swarmed Gasol and made him into a volume guy and into a guy who had to work really hard for everything that he got last night. So that offset the turnovers, 7 turnovers in the first, but an average of 3 turnovers per quarter in the next 3 quarters, which is much more reasonable. If they don't have that early turnover flurry in the first, that's more of a manageable turnover total. Kevin Durant with 4 turnovers, Jordan Bell, exciting player, exciting to watch last night definitely, but 4 turnovers also. But he had 5 assists, Draymond-like assists. He's assisting with vision. Klay Thompson assisted with vision, 5 assists for him as well. And David West assisted with vision also. And what I mean by assisting with vision is walking into an easy shot is much different than finding a man who's open across the court or flipping a nifty behind the back pass to a cutting runner toward the rim. Assisting with vision takes a little bit more skill than passing around the top of the key, and all of these players have the ability to do that, and they showcased that last night. In addition to his vision assist, Klay had a big first half, which was necessary coming after his 6 of 24 performance in Los Angeles on Monday. But 27 big points in the first half to keep the Warriors in it, to take them toward a halftime lead. And he was making all sorts of shots. He was Stroking from three, driving to the hoop, and pulling up from 13 to 15 feet, he was cutting like a madman, and the Warriors found him for easy basket after easy basket. Same with Omri Caspi, an expert cutter. The other Warriors really could learn drills from Clay and Caspi about cutting, how crucial it can be for a pass-happy team like the Warriors to backdoor cut on overplays and make sure that they keep the defense honest. That was one of the big differences in the game, considering the Warriors had very few fast break points. They had to find other ways to get easy baskets, and the back cuts, the cutting, was really, really crucial to make sure that the Warriors weren't working too hard. On the offensive end, to conserve their energy for their high-powered defense, which they showcased particularly in the third quarter, holding the Grizzlies to 14 points only. For the second half as a whole, the Warriors' defense was absolutely incredible, holding the Grizzlies to 10 of 44 shots, challenging every attempt at the rim, putting their hands in the passing lanes, and making sure that the Grizzlies couldn't get going in their half-court offense whatsoever. And that's great because the offense was really crappy for the Warriors in the second half. Klay Thompson, who had 27 points in the first half, only had 2 points in the second. He didn't touch the ball hardly in the third quarter, which was inexplicable to me. Credit the Grizzlies for overplaying him, but there have to be more and better attempts to get a player who's having a game the ball. Klay only took 16 shots last night. That's just not enough when he was making so many. But the Warriors still came away with a 13-point lead, which I believe is higher than their point differential right now. So I'm picking nits. We're talking about a team that's down 5 regulars, including the 2-time MVP and reigning Defensive Player of the Year, and 14 assists between those two players, as well as Andre Iguodala. So it's going to be disjointed. It's going to continue to be disjointed for a while until everybody gets back healthy. But there have to be simpler ways of getting the hot player the ball, especially when that hot player is one of the greatest shooters of all time. So I'm bringing it back in time to December 6th, 2000, Fitz and JB were still on the call back then, which is pretty cool. I went back and watched the highlights, Kobe Bryant versus Anton Jameson at the arena in Oakland on December 6th, 2000. An epic duel, 51 points each. And this was also after Jameson scored 51 points against Seattle, former Seattle Supersonics, the game before. The Warriors weren't very good, as was usual at the time. They were starting, along with Jameson, Larry Hughes, Bob Sura, Eric Dampier, and Chris Porter, with Mookie Blaylock and Vontigo Cummings coming off the bench, along with Vinny Del Negro, Mark Jackson, not the Mark Jackson with a C, that guy. It was a tough time to be a Warriors fan, that whole period between We Believe and Run TMC, but Anton Jameson was the closest thing that we had to our own superstar, our homegrown superstar. We had some really tough years drafting. We drafted some pretty awful players and let some pretty good players go. Chris Webber, Gilbert Arenas. But Anton stuck with the team through some really tough times until he found greener pastures in Washington, reuniting with Arenas. The Lakers, on the other hand, were full of superstars, and everyone knew their roster up and down. They had come off their first championship, they were on their way to a second, and Kobe Bryant was a bona fide superstar. He was leading the league in scoring at the time and was in the running for the MVP. It was a really different time in basketball back then. Anton ended up playing all 53 minutes of this overtime game. He took 29 shots, making 21 of them. He was 2 of 5 from 3 only, but 51 points along with 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, and a block, and 3 of those rebounds were offensive. He made 7 of 8 free throws, and on the night they won by 3, he was a plus 3. On the other side, Kobe took 35 shots to get his 51 points in 51 minutes, making 18. He was 2 of 7 from 3, a perfect 13 of 13 from the line. Total rebounds, 7, including 3 offensive, 8 assists, 2 steals, a block, and he turned the ball over 8 times. You know, that's not going to win you the game. But of course, when you're playing next to Shaquille O'Neal, Horace Grant, Ron Harper, Rick Fox, Brian Shaw, Robert Horry, you're going to have chances to win the game, obviously. And Shaq had a great game that game, 25 points on 18 shots. But nobody could guard Jameson. Nobody could stop him from scoring. He was scoring from the inside, scoring from the outside. He was a really big guy. He could play three or four, but for most of his time with the Warriors, he was playing small forward. It was nearly a sellout at Oracle, 19,273. But a lot of those fans were Laker fans, and it was really crazy being a child during this era because the Lakers were very good. They're not that far away, and there were a ton of Laker fans in the Bay Area. But that made for quite the exciting atmosphere, and the crowd was totally into it. So it was only fitting that this game would go into overtime. Kobe had a chance to win it at the end of regulation and threw up a brick against pretty good defense. And then 125-122, the Warriors stopped Kobe from making a three-pointer as time expired in overtime. Back then, the Warriors were wearing an early version of their Thunder jerseys with the lightning bolts in yellow and blue and orange, bright orange, going down the side of these white jerseys. Thunder was prominently featured in the center court, and the Warriors' Lightning W was also on the court. It was just a much different time. You could tell it came from the 90s. But this was an exciting moment for the Warriors. You felt, even though they had a losing record, that they had something in Anton Jameson, and his play was really, it was exciting me. I was really a big fan of his when I was a kid, and he gave us hope. The juggernaut that was the Lakers would indeed go on to win their second championship, beating Allen Iverson in the 2001 Finals and his Philadelphia 76ers in five games. I encourage you all to go back and watch those highlights from both of those 50-51-point games that Jameson put up. He said at the time that he could have never imagined doing that and that it was going to open a lot of people's eyes. It opened my eyes. So Jameson is one of eight players to score 50 points in consecutive games, along with Rick Barry, Elgin Baylor, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Bernard King, and Kobe Bryant. That's a list right there. Jameson never made an all-star team with the Warriors, though he did make the all-star team in the East with the Washington Wizards when they were winning games in the mid-2000s. He's probably never going to make the Hall of Fame, and I don't even know if the Warriors are going to retire his jersey. I'm not sure. He never presided over any winning seasons, but he was definitely a big part of the childhood of a lot of kids who came up around that time. Bowl season is here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for payout? Sign up at mybookie.ag today and get paid fast when you win. MyBookie is your hookup for all your betting needs, and you can even deposit using Bitcoin. How crazy is that? Just as important as who you're betting on is where you bet. And if you want to make money betting on the games, you gotta go to mybookie.ag. They're the only site I'd recommend. I trust them, but you don't have to take my word for it. Check them out for yourself. They have odds on every matchup and a mobile site that makes wagering on your smartphone a breeze. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 50% bonus. Use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So I don't know about y'all, but Christmas is my favorite holiday. Not only do I love the lights and the spirit, I think that Jesus and Santa together would make such a fantastic, like, gay dad combo. You've got the discipline, you've got the giving, you've got the love. They would raise some pretty awesome children. And I just love Christmas. But I also love Christmas because it's basketball day. It's the first day of the season, according to a lot of people, not according to me, but definitely one of the most exciting days on the NBA calendar. And this year is no exception. 76ers at Knicks at 9 a.m. Pacific, followed by Warriors Cavaliers at noon. I will be at that game with my best friend Gabe. We've been doing this ever since the Warriors started getting Christmas games. Back in the day, like 2011, 2012, I think, something like that, the Warriors were getting the nightcaps against the Clippers. We would go to those after Christmas dinner. And it was always super fun. And since the Warriors started winning championships, we've been shelling out to make sure we're there in the middle of the day for that ABC clash. Then Wizards Celtics at 2:30, Rockets Thunder at 5, that's going to be a great one, and Timberwolves Lakers is the nightcap for Christmas night. Now, I'm going to rank these games because, you know, everybody loves a good ranking. And my bottom definitely goes to Timberwolves, Lakers. The Lakers are the only losing team who are playing on Christmas Day, but they are the Lakers. They have the star power. They have the knowledge of, you know, who's on their team. People are going to watch that game. And the Timberwolves have been disappointing, especially on the defensive end, but they've been more up than down. And so it should be a nice chance for people to get to see Jimmy Butler and Karl Anthony Towns along with Andrew Wiggins on a national stage. I've talked about the Lakers a ton lately, and we're playing them on Friday, so I'm not going to say anything else about the Lakers. I'm actually going to put the Warriors as the fourth most interesting game on this Christmas Day slate, particularly because Stephen Curry won't be playing. It's possible Draymond won't play, and that will put an asterisk on any loss that the Warriors incur against the Cavaliers. The Cavaliers are still playing extremely well behind LeBron. Their defense still isn't as good as it could be or as good as the Warriors' defense, even with its depleted roster. But the Cavs are going to have a good chance to come into Oakland and steal that game without some really heavy hitters. Wizards-Celtics is my third most interesting game of that evening. You've got Kyrie Irving going up against John Wall, and who cares who else is on the roster? I mean, Kyrie versus Wall is one of the premier matchups of point guards in the Eastern Conference, scoring point guards, quick guys, and they're going to be playing against each other. They're going to be guarding each other for the lion's share of the game, and who doesn't want to see that? I mean, the Celtics and Wizards could be a first or second round matchup in the Eastern Conference, and this will be a great preview. I was tempted to put the 76ers-Knicks matchup on Christmas morning as my top choice, but I feel like that wouldn't be really fair. It might be a little anti-Rockets. It might be a little Homer. I lived in New York for a long time, and I love Kristaps. But the 76ers are just an incredibly exciting team to watch, and the Knicks are surprisingly good. And this is Embiid versus Kristaps. How do you not want to watch this? I'm going to be up early with the popcorn on a string and just having a ball. Got to get to Oracle, but I'll be watching it on my phone, I'm sure. You've also got Ben Simmons in this one. So three top 20 players in the league right now and a fierce Eastern battle. In my top spot, I've got the Rockets and the Thunder. The Rockets are the best team in the league right now based on their record, based on their statistics. The Warriors are right there along with both the Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics, but it's got to be the Rockets as far as health is concerned. I mean, health is a huge factor. The Warriors are hurting. So the Rockets get the top spot here against the Thunder, who are trying to prove themselves. And they have a number of good wins under their belt, and they're not a horrible team. They're great defensively, but they have a Westbrookian identity that is keeping them from reaching the potential that the Rockets seem to have reached. When you put two ball-dominant guys out there and you say go, it's not always going to work. But if you design a system that utilizes all of their strengths and nullifies all of their weaknesses, and that is what Mike D'Antoni has done in Houston. His system works perfectly. He's got the ball in the right man's hands at the right times. And James Harden and Chris Paul have fit right into it because it was designed for them in mind. And that's the difference between Billy Donovan's system and Mike D'Antoni's system. Billy Donovan's system is designed for Westbrook to thrive, but it doesn't nullify any of his weaknesses. And it doesn't create a situation where both Paul George and Carmelo Anthony can thrive as well. And that's what the Warriors have done. The Warriors have created a system where everybody can thrive and no one is being pushed out of their depth. Paul George is being pushed out of his depth. And if they can find a way to tweak some things mid-season, they might have a chance of keeping him, but I just don't see it happening under this system. But they're still fun to watch. Westbrook is still attacking the rim with ferocity. The Rockets are going to be a formidable foe for them, but they're at home. So it's a coin flip, you know. But it's a big test for the Thunder, and the Rockets are a big test for everyone. They're first in offensive rating by a tenth of a point. They lead the Warriors 113.6 to 113.5. Both of those offensive ratings, by the way, are just absolutely ridiculous. They make no sense. They are inhuman. The defensive rating, the Rockets have fallen to 7th at 103, which is still a net rating of plus 10. The Warriors have a defensive rating of 101 and a net rating of plus 12.5. So two very, very good teams. The metrics show that the Warriors are the much better shooting team, but the Rockets will bludgeon you if you allow them to. I'm going to be watching this game to see if the Thunder and their top-ranked defense can stop the Rockets and their top-ranked offense. It's definitely number one. All in all, the NBA has done us good this Christmas with five fantastic games. Those are my rankings. Join me tomorrow where I'll be previewing quickly the Lakers and Nuggets on Friday and Saturday respectively and taking a trip down the Reddit hole. And in my final segment before Christmas, I'll be exploring the marriage of the NBA and Christmas from a historical perspective. I don't know that much about it, so I'm excited to learn. I hope you are too. That's my pod for the day. Sorry about how late it is out there, but I do hope that you all still have a chance to listen. Make sure you go to Facebook, subscribe, go to LockedOnWarriors.com, bookmark, find us on iOS and Android, and all the things, all the places. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.